Okay, so I've handed back the graded homeworks and quizzes, and we have a test this Thursday in the classroom at the usual time. And I'm going to talk about the test at the end of class today. I've got it right here. I think it's ready to go. So what I want to do today is take a few homework questions if there are any. A number of you came to office hours, which was really good, so you get a chance to talk through some issues there. And then we have some new material that I want to talk about, but will not be on this test. Will most likely be on the next test. And so after we've talked about the new material and you've got your questions answered, then I'll just kind of lay out what's on the test. Okay, so questions about homework? So, okay, so the test is going to cover everything up to 6.6, but not including 6.2, which is the Wronskian, and 6.4, which is the 3x3s for the complex eigenvalues. And we're going to do one of those examples today. And I think that'll take us a little bit to get through that example. And then I think at that point we'll be ready to talk about the test. So maybe this will be a little bit of a short evening if you don't have any questions about anything. You guys doing okay? Life good? I bet you guys have taken other tests as well. Right? Yes?
What do you think the odds of school moving online after spring break?
I hope that doesn't happen. I mean, I have to be careful what I say, but I think we're all safe. You shouldn't worry about getting infected, and even if you do, the only people who are dying from this are people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, and 90s, maybe. At this point, what is it? We know that there's one student who thinks that they may have been exposed, and that's at the Riverside campus. I don't know if you're reading the website. So, and I think the college is doing exactly the right thing to be prepared, and, you know, maybe it's time that we cleaned all the water fountains. And I mean, I have nothing but praise for the janitorial services that take care of all the campuses. And I know some of them, you know, say hi and we talk a little bit. So they work hard. But yeah, there needs to be a little bit of extra cleaning, perhaps. And then we all need to be reminded to, you know, more people die of the flu than of the coronavirus. In fact, you know, thousands and thousands of people die of the flu every year. And so far we've got, a couple hundred people who are sick from the coronavirus. So I think everybody's doing what they should be doing. I think the college is on the right track. You know, the question was, are we going to go online? I have not heard anything about that, except that, you know, the distance learning is an option, but I think it would be very, I don't know that we're prepared for it. You know, it would not be a good thing if we couldn't meet in the classroom and get questions answered and for me to show you on the board, because I'm not really set up to carry out the lectures online entirely. It would be, and I would get there if I had to. If the college says this is what you're going to do, then of course I would do it. It's my job. But it would, I think, place a strain on you guys. I just think there's no substitute, especially for a math class, to be in the classroom. So I hope they don't have to do that, but I'll understand if they do. I mean, it's like if it rains, they want to cancel school. And I grew up up north where and we're riding around on the ice and sliding. You know, it's just a lot of fun, right? So, you know, we'll see what happens. Nobody will be more surprised than me if we end up having to do a distance learning version of this course in the second half. Did that answer your question? Okay, any other questions? Any questions on homework? I know that there's a lot of homework. Again, I just want to encourage you to do as much of it as you can. Learn the techniques. Because what I'm going to do is make sure that you can execute on all the basic techniques on a test. So, okay. Well, I will have office hours on Thursday. If you want to come in then and ask more questions, you're always welcome to come in and ask me those questions. Okay, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to talk about 6.4. Now, I looked carefully at 6.2, which is the Rodskian stuff. We can live without the Rodskian up to a certain point, but there's some interesting techniques that you can do with the Rodskian, and you can use it to make sure that you have linearly independent solutions. And so we can't just blow it off entirely, but the way it's written in this 6.2, they're assuming that you've read Chapter 4. We have not done Chapter 4 yet. So in a week or two, we're going to come back and we're going to cover Chapter 7 and then Chapter 4. And by the way, it seems like I'm bouncing around, but I'm just following the syllabus that other differential equations teachers use. And I think it's probably the right order, but it does puts a little bit of pressure on the book, because like in 6.4, they're assuming that you've read Chapter 4, and it's not the case here. So when we're into Chapter 4, we'll come back and we'll pick up 6.2, and that will be an appropriate place for it. So with 6.4, it's called non-defective matrices with complex eigenvalues. So let's just summarize quickly the kinds of eigenvalue situations that we have seen. First of all, we've done 2x2s, and last time I think we touched on 3x3. We did an example where we had three distinct eigenvalues. And so with the 2x2s, what did we find? We found that we had distinct eigenvalues that were real. We found that we had complex eigenvalues, and when you do that, you find that they are, how are they related to each other? How about complex conjugates? Okay, so we're always going to find that our eigenvalues, if they're complex, they'll occur in complex conjugate pairs. And so you know how to find your V vectors in any case. And now what was the other case? Repeated eigenvalues. So we did that for 2x2s, and the formula is exactly the same for 3x3. Now, I want to be very clear that complicated formula with the V and the W and the factor of T, that extra factor of T, that only happens when you can't get two independent V vectors. If you can only get one V vector, then what you do is you take that V vector and you use A minus lambda I times W equal V, and then you find your W, and that's what you plug into the more complicated formula. But if you have two Vs, then you just, it's like distinct eigenvalues, except that they're not distinct. Does that make sense?
You might... 2B or not 2B.
2B or not 2B, yeah, that's good. You might want to just kind of go over your notes or go over the homeworks or whatever and think about the different eigenvalue situations and make sure that you know how to handle each of those situations. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to cover the bases. Take what I regard to be relatively straightforward problems. But, for example, there will be distinct eigenvalues, there will be complex eigenvalues, there will be repeated eigenvalues. And make sure you know how to handle all those cases. So I want to do one that's a 3x3 with complex eigenvalues. Partly to show you some other techniques that might be helpful. And partly just to practice this whole thing. So, you know, this kind of example will not be on this test, but it may very well be on the next test, and things that you see here will be reminiscent of what we did on other eigenvalue problems. So, x prime equals 0, negative 2, negative 1, 1, negative 1, 1, 1, negative 2, negative 2, and then times x. Now, some of you may not be comfortable with doing row reductions, what is also known as either Gaussian elimination or Gauss-Jordan elimination. So, you know, this will be an opportunity. We'll do a little bit of row reduction here. And, okay, so remember what we do to solve a problem like this. What's the first step? That's right. So A minus lambda I. And we're going to take the determinant of that and set that equal to 0. So the A minus lambda I, it gives us 0 minus lambda, so negative lambda, negative 2, negative 1. And I'm going to go ahead and just treat this as a determinant. 1, negative 1 minus lambda, 1. And 1, negative 2, and negative 2 minus lambda. So the subtracting lambda times I is the identity matrix, which is 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 1. And so you see you have this minus lambda along the diagonal. So that's, and we're taking the determinant of this and setting it equal to 0. So how do we do the determinant? Well, and this is where we had our discussion last time. There are about 3 or 4 different ways of doing a determinant like this. So you want to pick a way that you're going to do it and get good at it. Maybe do it a few times. And so the way I do it is, the reason I do it my way is so I can just write it down. If you want to do it by maybe expansion by minors, you can also write that down, but then you have to do more, another set of determinants, the 2x2s. Or you can repeat the columns, and then go diagonally this way on all of them, and that way works. I don't do it that way myself, but that involves writing some more stuff. So anyway, so I'm going to get negative lambda times negative 1 minus lambda times negative 2 minus lambda, and then plus this times this times this, which is negative 2, so minus 2, plus this times this times this, which is, so this is negative 1 times negative 2 times 1, which is positive 2, so that's a plus 2. And so that's everything along this direction. So this diagonal, this times this and this, 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 this. Does that make sense? If you know it, you follow me. If you don't do it this way, then you're going to do it your own way. Any questions on what I've got so far? I haven't done the other direction yet. Yes?
Did you say it or not?
Yeah. So it's this times this times this plus this times this times this plus this times this times this. Here, let me write it. Let me do like an A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. And I'm just going to write it all out for you so you'll have it. So, A, E, I, plus C, D, H, plus B, F, G, and then minus, then we go in the other direction, C, E, G, minus F, H, A, and then minus I, D, B. Now, I certainly would not try to memorize these symbols. That would be... I don't process symbols that well, okay? I'm more spatial. And so that's why I look at it this way. So it's this, this, that, for the pluses, plus, plus, plus. And for the minuses, it's, and then maybe it's helpful if I do it this way. So A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. And now we're going to, so these are the pluses, and now I'm going to go minus. So that, that, and that. So, and these are multiplied. So, like, C times E times G. F times H times A. I times D times B. Okay? So, I did the pluses here. Did that help? So, if you wrote this down, and you're going to have to go home and process on that. Make sure you know how to do it. By the way, I'm not saying there's anything easy about this. Determinants are not the easiest thing in the world to do. In fact, I think they're downright hard. But you see them enough. You saw them in Calculus 3. You're going to see them if you take linear algebra. You definitely need to be able to do it in this class. You're going to see it in other courses. Your engineering courses are, eventually you're going to see them in the, your textbooks are going to assume that you can do determinants. So pick away and learn how to do it. Then the minuses, so this times this times this. So so minus, now I'm going to go minus, so plus, because minus the negative 1, and then times the negative 1 minus lambda. Right, and then let's say this, this, and this. So negative 2 times negative lambda is positive 2 lambda, but we're subtracting. So minus 2 lambda. Did I say lambda? Yeah, because of that. And then negative 2, now because we're subtracting, I'm going to make this a plus. So plus 2 times negative 2 minus lambda. And what does that equal? Whole thing equals 0. Now, from an algebra standpoint, this is like your worst nightmare. But we have no choice, right? We have to, if we're going to solve a problem like this, we need to be able to write, this is called the characteristic polynomial. It's not simplified yet, but hopefully we'll get there. So so I'm going to do this one first. So negative lambda times, and then you get lambda squared, and then plus 2 lambda plus lambda is plus 3 lambda, and then plus 2. These guys cancel. and you get minus 1, minus lambda, minus 2 lambda, minus 4, and then minus 2 lambda equals 0. Now let's go ahead and multiply this out, so we get negative lambda cubed minus 3 lambda squared minus 2 lambda, and maybe you can simplify a little bit here. So minus 1 minus 4 is minus 5. Negative lambda, negative 2 lambda is negative 3 lambda. Minus 2 is negative 5 lambda equals 0. And now, what can we group together? So the negative 2 lambda and negative 5 lambda is negative 7 lambda. And I'm going to multiply through by negative 1 to put a positive coefficient here. So we get lambda cubed plus 3 lambda squared. So minus 7 lambda, I'm going to make that a plus 7 lambda. And then plus 5 equals 0. So this is our characteristic polynomial. Okay. Any questions on that part? Okay. Do you guys remember how to factor these higher degree polynomials? If you took college algebra here at ACC, you might have learned something called the rational zero test. So I look at this, and I see that you've got a 5 here and a 1 here. That suggests to me that either plus 1 or minus 1 or plus 5 or minus 5 might be zeros of the polynomial. And it turns out if you plug in negative 1, so negative 1 cubed is negative 1. And then minus 3. I'm sorry, plus 3. That's right, plus 3. Minus 7. Plus 5. Do you get 0? Yeah, you get 0. So that suggests that lambda plus 1 is a factor. So one of your lambdas is negative 1. Now we need to figure out the other two lambdas. How do you do that? Do you remember?
Factor the lambda plus 1 out of that.
Yeah, so how do you do that? Well, you have to divide by that polynomial. And I'm going to do synthetic division. So you have a negative 1 here, and then you go back to your original polynomial, and so you got 1, 3, 7, 5, and bring down the 1, multiply, so you get negative 1, add, you get 2, multiply, you get negative 2, add, you get 5, multiply, you get negative 5. Add, you get 0. So this 0 is the remainder, which is good because that indicates that indeed x plus 1, or lambda plus 1 was the factor. What's the other factor? Lambda squared
plus 2 lambda
plus 5, and that has to equal 0. So presumably, lambda plus 1 times lambda squared plus 2 lambda plus 5 is equal to this polynomial on the left. Now, we spend like a couple of weeks doing this in college algebra. But now, can we solve this equation? How would we solve it? We can either factor it or quadratic formula. Now, does this factor by in integers? Is it... Doesn't factor nicely. Some people are going yes, some people are going no. Yeah, I think it's going to be complex. So lambda is equal to negative 2 plus or minus the square root of b squared, which is 4 minus 4ac all over 2 times 1, which is 2. And so we get negative 2 plus or minus the square root of 4 minus 20, which is negative 16, all over 2. Now this is going to be 4i. So negative 2 plus or minus 4i over 2, which is equal to negative 1 plus or minus 2i. So we get complex eigenvalues. And so I'm going to pick one of them. Let's just go with the, it doesn't matter, but let's just go with the plus 1. So negative 1, what was that? Negative 1 plus 2i. So those are our lambdas. Now, this is the third order differential equation, or system of three first order differential equations. But we have three distinct eigenvalues. However, two of them are not real. And of course, two of them are complex conjugates of each other. And then the other one is real. So, what do we do next? Yeah, so find your V's. Okay, so I'm going to erase this part here. Any questions about how I got this, or did the synthetic division?
How do you so you just have to guess the value for that?
There's something, it's called the rational zero test, and basically you take your factors of the constant and divide by the factors of the leading coefficient, and they're called your P's and your Q's if you're using the textbook that we used here. And so then you take the ratio of P over Q, and so in this case you'd have a 5 over 1, right, 5 over 1, or you'd have negative 5 over 1, or you can have a 1 over 1, or a negative 1 over 1. And so I would just try them in order. So you have four possibilities here, and that's assuming that you have rational zeros at all. That doesn't necessarily guarantee that you do. But if you have rational zeros, then this theorem will predict what they are. And so you have, again, your choices are plus or minus 5, plus or minus 1. And I just tried negative 1 because I know I've worked it in my notes. So I know that negative 1 works. And you can look at it. You can see that positive 1 cannot possibly work here. Right? So start with the smaller numbers and, you know, rule out the things that cannot possibly work. Why can positive 1 not possibly work? Because every term is positive and they can't possibly add a zero. So some of these would have to be negative. So negative 1 is a good candidate to try. And if lambda is equal to negative 1, then lambda plus 1 is a factor. And there's a theorem somewhere that says that if the zero is negative 1, then the factor is lambda plus 1. And then synthetic division works this way. You take the actual A value, lambda minus A here. In this case, A is equal to negative 1. And then you just have to do it that way. Or you can do long division. That works too. Now, why am I going through this? Well, because there might be a homework problem somewhere along the line where you have a third degree polynomial that you need to factor. Or someday you may be taking a course and they said, well, you took differential equations, right? Didn't you have to do this in your differential equations course? And the answer will be, yes, I did. I didn't like it at the time. I'm sorry I did. I wish the teacher had just given everybody A's, but yeah, this way you'll now learn this technique. If you didn't see it before, at least you've seen it. And I promise I'm not going to torture you with high degree polynomials, and you know that's not what these, that's not what we're trying to teach you. I mean, I would like you to learn it, and I'm teaching it to you now, but you know, if this just isn't within you to do, don't panic. You can still get there. So, I'm going to erase the stuff. I look at this stuff as party tricks. So, I mean, you know, just go to a party and impress your friends. Yeah, bring your whiteboard with you. You'll never get invited back. But okay. So where are we now? Okay, so now what we can do, now I erased this matrix, but so 0 minus lambda, negative 2, negative 1, 1, negative 1, 1, I'm sorry, 1 minus lambda, and then 1, negative 2, and negative 2 minus lambda. And so now I'm going to plug in. Let's do the easy one first. So negative 1, so we get negative of negative 1 is 1. Negative 2, negative 1. 1. Negative 1 minus the negative 1 is 0. 1. And then 1, negative 2. Negative 2 minus a negative 1 is what? Negative 1. Now you can immediately see that row 1 and row 3 are identical. So if you add row 1 to, or subtract row, say negative R1 plus R3 goes to R3. And by the way, what am I thinking about now? You've got a V1 here, V2, V3, and this is equal to 0. So that's why I'm doing these row reductions, is because I want to solve for V. So, what? And we could just take this 0 and make it an augmented matrix, and I'll do that next. But this is kind of where we're going. If it's a 2x2, it's much easier to do. And we didn't have to do row reductions on 2x2s, typically. We could just kind of work with the algebra. But when you have a 3x3 or anything higher, you don't want to try to solve for V1, V2, and V3 without first putting this in some sort of reduced form. Otherwise, it's just going to be too messy algebraically. So, it's a price you pay. You can avoid this, what I'm doing now, but at the expense of having to do a lot more substitutions and eliminations in order to solve for the V1, V2, V3. So, and then the other, I would go ahead and get rid of this one here. And so negative R1 plus R2 goes to R2. And so, rewrite row 1, because that's not changing. So 1, negative 2, negative 1, and then 0. So I'm writing augmented matrix form. And now, let's do the second row. So, negative 1 plus 1 is 0, so I put a 0 here. Negative of negative 2 is positive 2 plus negative 2 is 0. Oh, wait, I'm putting in row 2. That's right. Yeah,
2.
Am I doing that? No, this is a 0. So this, I'm sorry. That's what happens when I write them out of order. So negative of negative 2 is 2. 2 plus 0 is 2. Negative of negative 1 is 1 plus 1 is 2. And these are always going to be zeros out here. And then let's do row 3. So negative of 1 is negative 1 plus 1 is 0. Negative of negative 2 is positive 2 plus negative 2 is 0. Negative of negative 1 is positive 1 plus negative 1 is 0. So now we have a row of zeros. And I'm going to continue with the row reduction and put it in the simplest possible form. At some point you could pull the plug on this and you may still have to do algebra. So I'm just going to try to minimize the amount of algebra that I have to do at the end. So 1 half R2 goes to R2. So you get, the first row doesn't change, so 1, negative 2, negative 1, 0. 1 half times 0 is 0, 1 half times 2 is 1, 1 half times 2 is 1, 1 half times 0 is 0. And then I've still got my row of zeros here, which is not going to change. And now I can use this 1 to get rid of this negative 2. And that may seem unnecessary, but it, again, it will reduce the amount of algebra that we have to do at the end. So 2R2 plus R1 goes to R1. So row 2 and row 3 stay the same, so 0, 1, 1, 0, and all zeros. So 2 times 0 is 0 plus 1 is 1. 2 times 1 is 2 plus negative 2 is 0. 2 times 1 is 2 plus negative 1 is 1. And then, of course, 2 times 0 is 0 plus 0 is 0. Okay. What's the next step?
Do the algebra?
Sure. Okay, so we're solving for V. So V1 plus V3 is equal to 0. Now, these rows are not redundant. This one is. We've proven that this row of zeros is unimportant. But I can't ignore now the, you know, before we only had one equation when we had a 2 by 2 at this point. And then we could figure out what the V1 and V2 are. But here, we've got to use both of these, and we've got to think about this in terms of vectors, because those V's are vectors. So that was the first equation. What's the second equation?
V2
plus V3 is equal to 0. And now I'm going to solve for V1 and V2 in terms of V3. So I have V1 is equal to negative V3. V2 is equal to negative V3. Now, at this point, you could probably see exactly what to do. But if you let V3 equal 1, for example, then V1 is going to be negative 1, V2 is going to be negative 1, and V3 is 1. But let me just show you in a little bit more detail what you should be thinking about on this, or, you know, another way to approach it. That will work for more complicated situations, like when you have two vectors. And now I'm letting V3 equal to V3. That may seem silly. V3 is equal to V3. We know that, right? Everybody agrees. V3 is V3. But I'm doing it so that I can now write my V1, V2, V3 vector. V1, V2, V3 vector equals. And then here, what do you have? You have negative V3, negative V3, and what do you have here? V3. Now I can factor a V3 out of that vector, and so we get V3 times what? Negative 1, and what's here? 1, And if you want, you can replace B3 with some other letter, like T or S or something, to indicate that it's a parameter. Or you could just leave it as B3. And if you... Now, that might be confusing, because let's say you let B3 be 2. Well, then you don't want to use these numbers here. A safe thing to do is since you already... These are integers. They're not fractions. They're not complex. So if you just replace this with a 1, then your V vector is what?
-1, -1, 1.
Yeah, it's -1, -1, 1. And so that's your V vector. And so part of the solution is going to be X equals, so maybe call it X1, is equal to C times -1, -1, 1, and then E to the -t. So that's one of your solutions. Now we still have two more to get, because this is a 3x3. It's going to have 3 linearly independent solutions if we do this right. So we've got one of them. Any questions on what I've done so far? This should be fairly straightforward. It's the only difference is doing the row operations, the Gauss-Jordan elimination, in order to get the solution to the V vector. Okay, so now I'm going to erase from here over, because we've captured the information that we want to capture from our solution right here. Agreed? So I'm going to leave this, and I'm going to erase this part here. And then we're going to, remember how you handle complex eigenvalues. So, just quick summary. We only need one of the eigenvalues if they're complex, because the other one is a complex conjugate. But what we're going to end up with is like e to the something complex. And we can Eulerize that. So, remember e to the I theta, let's say, is equal to cosine theta plus I sine theta. So we take this and we use the Euler identity, write that, and then we use our V vector, so we actually get a vector of solutions, and then we pick the real, we write them in such a way that we get the real part and the imaginary part. And the real part is itself a solution, and the imaginary part is also itself a solution. So we're going to go through that process here. The tricky thing is going to be finding the V. So so let's plug in. Now, we're using -1 plus 2i. So what are we going to get? We're going to get 0 minus, and then, so I'm going to, let me just do this in steps. So minus -1 plus 2i, and I'll simplify this in the next step. -2, -1, 1, and then -1 minus -1 plus 2i, and then 1, and 1, -2 and -2 minus -1 plus 2i. And now I'm going to simplify this over here. So distribute the minus so you get 1 minus 2i, -2, -1. 1, now -1 minus a -1 is +1, so the -1 and the +1 cancel, and you get -2i, so this becomes -2i, and 1, and then 1, -2, Now, this is negative 1 minus a negative 1, which is negative 1 plus 1, which is, I'm sorry, negative 2 plus 1, which is negative 1. And then distribute it so you get minus 2i. How are we feeling? You guys have probably never seen a matrix that had complex values in it. One of the joys of differential equations. Okay? And it doesn't look like any row is like a multiple of another row, although it must be the case that at least one of these rows ends up being all zeros. It has to be true if we did this part correctly. If we found the eigenvalues correctly, and if we substituted incorrectly, then we should, when you do the row reductions, it should get one of the rows is zeros. Now, we could, I think, and you know, I'm hesitant to do this because, first of all, I think you ought to try to reduce that matrix. But secondly, it's a check on your work. What happens if you use one of these equations to try to find your v1, v2, v3, and you've made a mistake somewhere? Are you going to be able to catch it? No, probably not. But if we do row reductions and can put this thing into a better form, then that would be a good thing, and that will help confirm that what you've done up to this point is correct. So how do we want to do that? Well, one thing we could do, so how are you guys feeling? I'm sensitive to the vibes. Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you thinking, oh my God, this is painful?
It looks painful.
It looks a little painful. Trust me, I'm not a sadist, and I'm not a masochist. I like feeling good, and I don't want to make you feel bad. But I would feel bad if I didn't try to show you this. So, you know, do whatever you want with this, but I feel compelled to share this with you. Okay. So, I think one of the things that we can do right away is do a row exchange. Put a 1 in the upper left-hand corner. Because that's what we usually do with Gauss-Jordan or Gaussian elimination. So I'm going to do R1. I'm going to exchange with R3. So R3. And so I put this row up here. So 1, negative 2, negative 1 minus 2i. And 1 minus 2i, negative 2, negative 1, and then the middle row stays the same, 1, negative 2i, and 1. Now, what would you do next? Use this one to get rid of this one? Can we do that? I think so. Can we use this one to get rid of this one? Or this one minus 2i?
That's the
only one. Yeah, I think we can. This builds character. This is one of those problems that you want to sit there at home on a weekend and just spend an hour. Take a piece of paper out and... Trust me, I do this all the time. I work on problems at home all the time. I take a piece of paper out, I work on it for an hour. I know some of you are equally diligent, and you'll be able to do this. So, negative R1 plus R2 goes to R2. Now, how do we get rid of this one? Well, obviously, negative of 1 minus 2i times R1 plus R3 goes to R3. Right? You take the negative of this, because this is a 1. You take the negative of this, so negative of this, multiply it by this. When you add it to this, what are you going to get? 0. Right? So, okay. So, row 1 stays the same. 1, negative 2, negative 1, minus 2i. Negative R1 plus R2 goes to R2. So negative 1, negative of 1 is negative 1 plus 1 is 0. Where am I? So negative of negative 2 is 2 plus negative 2i is 2 minus 2i. Because it's complex. Negative of negative 1 minus 2i, what is that? That's positive 1 plus 2i plus 1 is 2 plus 2i. So that's the second row. Agreed? You guys got to check me on this, because if I make a mistake, I'm going to feel pretty foolish if I go all the way to the end. And then somebody says, well, you made a mistake all the way back here. So, keep me honest. Okay, now, row 3. So, negative of this times this, so that becomes, this becomes the thing that, when you add it to this, makes it 0. So that's got to be a 0. Now, I'm not going to try to do this in my head. So, negative of, negative 1 minus 2i times negative 2 plus negative 2, right? So this becomes negative 1 plus 2i, I'm sorry, this becomes, so the negative and the negative cancel, so you get 2 times 1 is 2 minus 4i plus negative 2, so these 2's cancel, you get negative 4i here. Did I do that right? And then lastly, so negative of 1 minus 2i times that thing. So now that's negative 1 minus 2i. Right, plus negative 1, so minus 1. Now we get, so negative of, so you get negative 1 plus 2i plus 2i and then plus 4i squared. What's I squared?
Minus
1. So plus 4i squared is minus 4. Now there's a minus sign out in front. So let me distribute that. So you get 1 minus 2i minus 2i plus 4 minus 1. Now this is minus 2i minus 2i is minus 4i. And this is 1. These ones cancel and you get plus 4.
What's the 4i inverted? Because you've got positive 2i minus 2i.
Huh? This is plus, this is minus 2i times minus 2i.
So you're multiplying 1 by positive 1 and 1 by negative 1. So you should have plus 2i minus 2i.
Yeah.
So that should just come out to the gate here.
This is plus 2i. Oh, and this is minus 2i.
Yeah.
So those cancel. Okay, good. So then we end up with just a plain old number. So this is negative 5 times negative 1 is positive 5 minus 1 is 4. So, agreed? Thank you for helping me with that. So 4 There's still pain, but that, I also see light at the end of the tunnel. Yes.
Why are those guys looking?
Well, I didn't write the minus sign here. So this is, so negative 2i times negative 1 is positive 2i. And then 1 times negative 2i is minus 2i. So those guys cancel. Okay? Now, why do I see light at the end of the tunnel? Well, because there's a 4 here and a 4 here, and I can make this turn into a 1. How would we do that? Well, divide by 4, by negative 4, but also you have to do something with this I.
I mean, you can just divide by positive 4 and then multiply by I.
Okay, good. So I'm going to go... I over 4, R3, goes to R3. Because I times I is negative 1. Negative 1 times negative 1 is plus 1. And then divide by 4, you get the 4s go away. So you get a 1 here. And then we can figure out what to do with this. This is going to, the 4s cancel, and you get an I in this position here. So first row and second row stay the same. So 1, negative 2, negative 1 minus 2i. 0, 2 minus 2i, 2 plus 2i, and then 0, and then what I just said, so this becomes a 1, and this becomes an I. Now, we're going to get to a point where I will have made my point, okay? I don't know that it's necessary to go to the bitter end on this, but I want to go maybe a couple of steps further just to see if we can get there and then see what to do. Because I don't want to prevent you guys from hearing about the test. On the other hand, I think, you know, this was the hard part of this problem, and I wanted to make sure that you saw all of this. Next thing I would do is I would factor a 2 out of each of these, and then multiply row 2 by 1/2. So I'm going to do that. So 1/2 R2 goes to R2. And row 1 is 1, negative 2, negative 1, minus 2i. And then this becomes 2 times 1 minus I, and we're multiplied by 1/2, so we get 1 minus I here. And this becomes 2 times 1 plus I, multiplied by 1/2, so you get 1 plus I here. And then 0, 1, I. Now, if we don't get something to turn into a row of zeros, and by the way, you know, think of this as augmented matrix with zeros out here. Because what are we solving for right now?
V.
The V1, V2, V3. Okay. Always keep in mind what it is that you're trying to solve for. Don't just go off in the weeds doing algebra. Okay. So I'm going to use this 1 to get rid of this negative 2, and I'm going to use this 1 to get rid of this 1 minus I. So let's do the row 1 first. So 2R3 plus R1 goes to R1. And what do I have to do to make this a 0? Multiply what by row? What times row 3? Negative of 1. Yeah, so negative 1 plus I, or negative of the quantity 1 minus I. So I'm going to do that. So negative of 1 minus I times row 3 plus row 2 goes to row 2. And so row 1, so row Well, 3 stays the same. 0, 1, I. So let's do row 1 first. So 0, 2 times 0 is 0, plus 1 is 1. 2 times 1 is 2, plus negative 2 is 0. 2 times I is 2i, plus negative 1 minus 2i is what?
Negative 1.
That's kind of nice. And then, now what's going to happen with row 2? Well, 0 plus 0 is 0. So, negative 1 minus I times, or plus 1 plus I, or 1 minus I, is going to give you 0 here. And then, now, negative 1 minus I times I plus 1 plus I. Now, this is where the drum roll would be. And I don't know if you can tell, but I'm sweating bullets right now. Because, you know, all of this is going to come down to nothing if I can't make this 0. So, looks like there's hope, maybe. So, negative 1 times I is negative I. Negative of negative I times I is I times I, which is I squared, which is negative 1. Plus 1 plus I. Woo! Woohoo! I'm so happy. This is why you do this stuff, because of the joy that comes. It's painful. Anybody in here run distance running? I mean, obviously not now, but there was a time. Did you run distance?
Yeah.
And what happens when, you know, you... What was the longest distance?
It seems like 9 miles.
Okay. So, like, 10Ks and stuff.
Yeah.
So, how do you feel when you cross the finish line? Besides exhausted. I mean, you feel good, right? This is what this is all about. You see that this is 0. And so what do I put here? 0. Do we need to do any other reductions on this? No. Okay, so now we... Yes?
So in 3 by 3, we always wanted to be like one row to be 0.
Well, or 2. It's possible that you get 2 rows of zeros. And that's why you should always continue with the elimination process until you have eliminated everything that can be eliminated. See, there's nothing more that we can do here because I can't get rid of this negative 1 without sticking to something that's not 1, or not 0 here. So we're fully reduced. Now, some people will say, you know, you want the 0 row to be on the bottom. Okay, fine. We'll put the 0 row on the bottom, but who cares? Okay.
Question?
Yes?
If you want to put the zeros at the bottom, I thought it was long.
Yeah, if you wanted the zeros at the bottom, then you would do, you know, R2 exchange with R3. And that would be, you know, in the proper reduced row echelon form. Okay, so now, how do we figure out what the V is? Well, we do what we did before, so V1 minus V3 is equal to 0, and V2 plus I times V3 is equal to 0. Once you get it in this form, once you have paid the price and done the reductions that need to be done to put it in reduced row echelon form like this, then you can now do what we just did in this last part of the problem with the real eigenvalue. And so V3 is V3. And so I want my vector V1, V2, V3. Well, I'm going to add V3 to both sides. So we get V1 is equal to V3. V2 is equal to negative I V3. And then, of course, V3 is V3. And so this is equal to V3 times some vector. What is it? 1 - -I, 1. I think I have just enough time. I can go through the process of using this to Eulerize and write the final solution. Yes. Did you have a question?
Just wiping my head.
Oh, sweating the sweat of the brow.
Sweating bullets.
Sweating bullets. Yeah. Oh, that was. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if I was going to get to this point, but now that I have, it'd probably be a good review for you guys to see what to do with this V vector. Agreed? Because you are going to, you won't see a 3x3 on the test, but you will see a 2x2 that has complex eigenvalues. And so you want to know how to handle that case. So, any questions on how, oh, by the way, we haven't quite got there. So what do you need to do? What's a good thing to do with what do you want to set V3 equal to?
1.
So V3 is 1, then your V vector is 1, negative 1, negative I, and 1. Now, the answer that I got in my notes, for some strange reason, I did the row reduction a little differently, and I got I1I as the vector.
I got that doing it a different way as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you let V3 equal I, then I times 1 is I times negative I is positive 1, and then I times 1 is I. So, you could get, there's literally an infinite number of possible answers, but you want the one that's going to be simple. So if V3 is I, then you would get I1I. I personally think this might be a little easier or a little simpler because it has more real numbers in it. But okay, so now I'm going to erase some of this stuff so I can make room for what we're going to do next. We're going to use that V. Okay. Actually, I should probably, I think we called it something else. I don't know. I'm going to call it X, but you recognize that this is not the general solution. And what does it equal? So it's what we're going to do is we're going to take our vector, which is 1, negative I, 1. E to the negative 1 plus 2I, because that's our lambda. Times t. Now, if we were, if we were going to use the other eigenvalue, the complex conjugate, we'd end up with something similar. But there's an easier way to get there. Remember, we're going to Eulerize this. We're going to simplify it into a real part and an imaginary part, and then the real part is a solution. The imaginary part is also a linearly independent solution. So how do we do that? So let's Eulerize this first. So we get 1, negative I, 1. Now this is e to the negative t, and we go ahead and write that, times, and then e to the 2it. E to the 2it is cosine 2t plus I sine 2t. Don't forget this 2 here. This 2 right here is important. It changes the frequency of your oscillating functions. So I'm just going to copy this up here. So cosine 2t plus I times sine 2t. This is what we mean by Eulerizing this factor. And now I'm going to erase this part here, and then now I can write this. I'm going to bring the e to the negative t in the front here. And I'm going to multiply, so I'm going to end up with a big vector here. This is still a vector, it's not a matrix, it's one column. 1 times this, so it's going to be cosine 2t plus I sine t, sine 2t. Negative I, so negative I cosine 2t, and then what's negative I times I? Negative I times I is what? Plus 1, so I get 1, so just plus sine t, sine 2t. And then, again, repeating this, so cosine 2t plus I sine 2t. Now, we want to rewrite this. So e to the negative t. Now I'm going to separate the real part and the imaginary part here. We could do this in 2 steps, but I'm going to go ahead and do this in 1 step. I'm going to put the real part on the left side and the imaginary part on the right side. So I get a cosine 2t here. So in fact, let me just put a parenthesis there. And then cosine 2t. Now why am I putting parentheses here? Because they're both, all the terms in there are going to be multiplied by either negative t. So I don't want to have to rewrite that twice. Although I could. And then we'll go ahead and do the second row. The first row. So plus I times, now here, what do we get? Sine 2t. What about the second row? Well, now we get sine 2t here. And then minus, so that we've already pulled out the I, so we get minus cosine 2t here. And then cosine 2t. And then sine 2t. And close friend. And so this, let's call this C. So now I'm going to write the general solution. So X is equal to C1, negative 1, negative 1, 1. E to the negative t plus c2, and I can erase this part right here, I think, a little bit, times e to negative t, and then cosine 2t, sine 2t, and cosine 2t. Plus C3 e to the negative t. And then just this part here, the imaginary part, we don't need to copy the I. In fact, we don't want to. We just want that vector. So sine 2t, negative cosine 2t. Thank you. And again, sine 2t. Yeah, thank you. And this is our general solution. And if we had talked about the Wronskian, we would be able to use that to prove that all three of these solutions are linearly independent. But I think we can be safe to assume that they are at this point. So, what was that, about an hour to do that problem on the board? Something like that. Yes. Yeah, that'll be the only problem on the final. Yes.
Why is there no I in the C3 part?
This part here?
Yeah.
Because your solution has to be real.
But it's time that
I know. But what we've agreed. Okay, so Because we're doing engineering and physics, typically, we use imaginary numbers and complex numbers to facilitate the solving of the problems. But we don't want our answers to be imaginary or complex, because that you're not going to build a bridge over a river using complex masses, or, you know what I'm saying, complex lengths or whatever. So everything has to be real in the real world. The only thing that we do, that we use the complex numbers, I like to think of it as jumping into hyperspace. We complexify the problem, which is really what we did here, Eulerizing. Complexify the problem, solve the problem, and then we revert back to real. So what we're agreeing is this is the real part. Of course, it's times the e to the negative t. This right here is the imaginary part, not including the I. And I don't think I proved this in this class, but it's not hard to prove that both of these will satisfy the differential equation. And they are both linearly independent, yes.
And the imaginary part would be the real part if we had used the other...
Probably. I think that's true. I think that if you had used the complex conjugate of your eigenvalue and gone through the process again, like you say, you would get a real part and an imaginary part, and this time probably the real part is going to be the part that you want that's equivalent to this. I haven't actually worked through that. I think on faith this works, but I like that you challenged me on that, so I'll probably go home maybe not tonight, but sometime this weekend or sometime, and spring break. What else is spring break for, right? Yes.
So on your final answer, your C1, did it come from that lambda equals negative 1, and then your C2 and C3 came from the...
So this right here is your lambda equals negative 1, and these come from your lambda is equal to negative 1 plus 2i. And it doesn't matter what order you write these in, the C's are going to be real in a real problem. All of these functions are real. All these vectors are real. If you end up with an I floating around in the final answer, you've done something wrong. Any questions? Any more questions? Was this helpful? I mean, yeah, it was painful to go through that row reduction process, but you saw that it could be done, right? I mean, I think that's part of my job is to show you that using just basic steps that you already know how to do, you can put it in reduced row echelon form. If somebody says you can't do it, you say, no, I've seen it done. It can be done. Now, they may say you don't need to do it. Well, that's a whole different argument. But I think the reason we did that was to convince ourselves we got a row of zeros, and so we got the eigenvalue correct, and that's at least a partial check on your work. Okay, so at this point, let's stop, and we're going to talk about the test. And before I do that, let me remind you that if you haven't signed the sign-in sheet, please do that, because I think a couple of people came in after the sign-in sheet had gone around. And also remember that you're turning in the homework on Thursday. And okay. So there are 10 problems and 10 pages, or actually, yeah, 9 pages. Let's see, is there right? No. Yes. Actually, there's 10 problems and a bonus question. And the bonus is worth 10 points. Now, before I say anything else, it's my policy to not give partial credit on the bonus. And in order to get the bonus, to even start the bonus problem correctly, you must have problem number 10 correct. So I'm not handing out free points by giving you a bonus question. So you really ought to, and I'm saying this now so you can be thinking about this so that you know what the priorities are in thinking about this test, but I want you to focus on the problems in the main portion of the test. I'm not even going to tell you what the bonus is, except that it's related to the last problem. But don't even think that you're going to spend time on the bonus question if you've got other problems on the test. If you can't do problem number 10, for example, even an attempt on problem on the bonus question is not going to help you. So I don't expect a lot of people will get the bonus, but if you do, then you will have earned it. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you what all the problems are. I'm not going to tell you the exact equations, but I will not be shy about letting you know exactly what you have to know for this test. So the first problem says solve the following Bernoulli differential equation. So I'm telling you it's Bernoulli. You need to do a Bernoulli substitution. Number two, solve the following differential equation by homogeneous substitution. Now remember, homogeneous substitution doesn't mean that the right-hand side is zero or anything like that. It means that, what does that mean, homogeneous substitution? Do you remember?
That was b equals
y over x. Yeah. So basically, it's all of your terms on the right hand side have the same degree. If you're not clear on that, go back and look, because that is 10 points of the test. So Bernoulli. Oh, I'm sorry, that Bernoulli is the first, homogeneous substitution is the second.
You said that the V is equal to Y, right?
Not exact.
It's not exact, no. I'm not saying that it's not exact. Okay. It might accidentally be exact, but I'm telling you that it's homogeneous substitution. If it turns out to be exact, I mean, you can solve it that way too, but I think that takes more work to demonstrate that. Okay, especially since I've given you what I think it is. Problem three, I'm asking you to use Euler's method with a step size of h equals something and some sort of initial condition, and then estimate to six decimal places the answer that I'm asking for. So it's Euler's method. Not Euler identity here, but you know the numerical method that we used. Make the table. It says make a table and show the results of all necessary computations. I say that because if you get it wrong and I can't see how you got there, or if you just write down an answer, I'm not going to accept that either. You need to, you know, because some of you might have your calculator programmed for Euler's method, and I don't want you to do that. I want you to actually fill in the table, do the calculations. It's not that hard. Be sure you bring a calculator to this test. That was number three. Number four, it's a 2x2, and you have an initial condition, and honestly, I don't remember which of the 2x2s it is, but one of them is going to be distinct eigenvalues. One of them is going to be complex eigenvalues, and one of them is going to be repeated eigenvalues. Pretty sure that's right. Number five, it's another 2x2. Actually, number six is a 3x3, but it has repeated eigenvalues. So that's the one with repeated eigenvalues.
You said six is a 2x2 with repeated?
Six is a 3x3. By the way, you know, I mean, if your whole world revolves around these next minute or two that I'm talking about this, you're looking at this the wrong way. I want you to learn these skills and even if I switched all the problems and made them in different order, I still want you to be able to do the test well. All right, it doesn't matter what problem 6 is.
So 4 and 5 are the same question?
No, they're not the same question. They're the same kind of... They're both 2x2s. Number 7, you're given a non-homogeneous equation, which is second order, which is it's a 2 first order system. And I'm giving you the solution of the homogeneous. And I'm asking you to use variation of parameters to find the non-homogeneous. Number 8, I give you a second order equation and ask you to reduce it to two first order equations and write it in matrix form.
Second order and reduce it.
I'm sorry, say again.
It's a second order, we're asked to reduce it to two first order.
That's right.
And then after you reduce it, what do you do?
Do not solve. And also there's an initial condition which you must also convert. Problem 9. I give you 2 lambdas and their associated V vectors. So 2 eigenvalues and their associated eigenvectors. And I ask you to draw the phase portrait. Now, so far on all of the other problems, I have not asked you for a phase portrait. If you feel it's helpful to draw them, it's fine, but I'm only asking you for the phase portrait on this one problem. So, do a good job with it. If you're sloppy, I don't take points off. And number 10, by the way, let me just preface this by saying the memo went out to all differential equations teachers. All tests must have at least one word problem. And I get graded on the tests, so I have to submit the test to the department. So... And I think that's the right thing to do. I think that they are right in requiring a word problem on every test. Number 10 is the word problem. And I'm not going to tell you what kind of word problem it is. But I will tell you that it involves a system of equations. So you might look at some of the homework problems that we've done. I mean, what did we do as far as word problems for systems? Tank problem. Tank. What else did we do?
The electrical circuit.
The circuit. Programs. Circuit ones. Is there anything else? I don't remember offhand if there were anything else. So make sure you know how to do all of those problems. And then, so that's problem 10. All the problems are worth 10 points. And then the bonus question has to do with problem 10. Now, I will tell you this much. I'm only asking you to set up the system on problem 10, including the initial condition. I'm not asking you to solve it. You can imagine what I might ask on the bonus. Now, what if I didn't ask you to solve it? What else could I ask you for?
The equilibrium.
So think about both. Think about how you would solve a system. Of course, you've already done a fair amount of that on this test, right? And think about also how you would find the equilibrium value. And think about Cramer's rule. I know Kramer's rule sounds silly, but you might want to try thinking about it. Might help you on this test. Okay. Any questions about the test? Okay, we're done. So good luck. Study hard. See you on Thursday.
I just want to confirm what's on the test. So there's only section for 6-2, 6-4.
Not 6-2, not 6-4, but up to 6-6. Now this says up to 7-2, but it's just 6-6. And don't forget to sign the assignment sheet if you came in late.
Homework
includes 3-5, 6-3, and 6-6 for this week. 3-5, 6-3, and 6-6. Those are due this week.
Thank you, Professor.
Have a good one.